We are back at the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're studying about the conversion of Lydia. Now, this is found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, 6 through 15. And as the last class closed, as the last class period came to an end, Paul was going through Bithynia and avoiding Galatia, avoiding Bithynia, going through Mysia, and coming into Troas. God directing him like a beeline toward Troas, and then on into Macedonia. We'll begin there in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9 in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at Elam's notes from our old Sunday school lesson. We read, while at Troas, probably the night after he reached there, a vision appeared to Paul. There was a man of Macedonia standing, beseeching him and saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. This was like Peter's vision at Joppa, like that of Cornelius, and like others which Paul had had. It was a revelation of God's will as to what he desired Paul to do. So Luke speaks first of himself as being in Paul's company. This is in verse 10. In fact, this is where the man, Luke, enters the scene when it comes to the Bible story. Before this, he was saying they, and now he says we. It is supposed Luke joined them there at Troas. Luke accompanied Paul to Philippi. And in verse 40 of this chapter, Luke says they departed, leaving himself at Philippi on several years afterwards when he joined Paul and others on Paul's visit to Jerusalem. They rightly concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. Now they begin to see why they were forbidden at this time to preach in these other places. They found a ship in readiness and a propitious wind at sea, so that they made a straight course to Samothracia, and the day following to Neapolis, an old word that would be translated New Town. Samothracia was an island in the sea, and Neapolis was a seaport of Philippi, which was about 10 miles inland. In 2 days they were across the sea, but at another time they were 5 days in making the voyage in the opposite direction, Acts 20 and verse 6. It seems that by forbidding them to go into Bithynia and Asia, and they'll go straight through Mysia to Troas, and then a favorable wind to carry them right into Neapolis and 10 miles inland then into Philippi, that God wanted Paul there in all haste and not to delay or tarry or turn some other way. And we're going to see why in just a moment. It was from the landing place at Neapolis Paul and his company went directly to Philippi. They were now in Europe, and we were in this city tarrying certain days, yet not seeing just where or how to begin the work. And there was no synagogue of the Jews in Philippi, but a few pious Jews had a place of prayer without the gate by the riverside. A river, probably because of the Jewish washings. At least that would make the river convenient. And this was an enclosed place or a temporary structure. To this place on the Sabbath, Paul and his company went and sat down and spake unto the women that were come together. The church at Philippi, like many now, began among the women, the first persons to hear and obey the gospel in Europe that we read about were women. These were either Jewish women or proselytes. More likely, they were Jewishes. It was on Saturday, the first day of the week, is never called the Sabbath. Lydia was from Thyatira, a town in the province of Lydia and on the border between Lydia and Mysia. This woman may have received her name from this province. Paul and his company had just passed through Mysia. Lydia was about 300 miles from home. Purple was highly prized by the Romans. It was worn by the great and the rich. The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. In mocking Jesus, they put on him a crown of thorns and a purple robe in John 19, 1 through 3. Emperors and kings wore purple, and those examples show how purple was a sign of royalty. It was a costly dye and was of different hues. It was an important industry of Thyatira. Lydia must have had some means in order to deal with this dye or purple goods, yet she had to depend upon her own exertions. She was devout and worshipped God. She worshipped according to the law of Moses. When she was in Philippi on business, and while her rivals in business were at work on the Sabbath, she found time to quit business and go to the place of prayer in order to worship God. She did better then, though not a Christian, than many professed Christians do now. And it was her whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart through the teachings of Paul. He instructed her and removed former errors from her heart. There's nothing mysterious about this. Her heart was not open before Paul taught her. Paul was sent to instruct her, just as Ananias had been sent to him, and Peter to Cornelius, and Philip to the eunuch. And to give heed to the things which were spoken by Paul means to obey those things. She was enlightened as to Jesus and the gospel, and rendered that obedience which all did under the preaching of the apostles. She believed in Christ, repented, and was baptized in his name. When the hearts of people today are opened as the Lord opened Lydia's heart, then they will do as she did. And when she was baptized shows that this was one of the things spoken by Paul. There was a river in which she could be easily baptized. When Philip preached Christ to the Samaritans and to the eunuch, they were at once baptized. When Paul preached the word of God to the jailer, he and his house were baptized in the same hour of the night. And so in this case, which shows that this obedience always followed the preaching Jesus when people obeyed it all. Her household were doubtless women employed by her in her business. A woman with infants would likely not have been 300 miles from home in such business. It is not even stated that she was ever married. She constrained us. Shows that Paul and his company did not accept of her hospitality until they knew it would be no imposition upon her. This, then, was their home. While they were in Philippi, Paul and his company were independent, gallant, true men, and could support themselves and preach too when necessary, which they did at times. They were not men to impose upon a woman, and one too depended upon her own exertions for her living, working away from home at that. They were not tramps seeking a lodging place in the name of religion. They were not religious deadbeats. Neither were they sensationalists seeking notoriety to attract attention by any peculiarities in regard to where they should stop. Neither were they squeamish, vicious, exacting, or hard to entertain. They were not seeking entertainment, but the good of all. So when it was made clear to them that it was no imposition, and in every proper way for them to do so, they gratefully accepted Lydia's hospitality. Some modern preachers could study the behavior of these men, rather, could imitate them with much profit to themselves and relief to those whose lot it is to entertain them. That brought that Sunday school lesson to a close, and I turn the page in my little Sunday school book, and I see the next Sunday school lesson is titled the Christian's hope. It is written for the Sunday schools of March the 20th, 1927. And there are three texts. John 14, 1 through 3, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, and 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Let me read John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The second text is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, but for that which would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought for us this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit, being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that while we are home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. Wherefore also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well pleasing unto him, for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according as he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The third text is 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And every one that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is John chapter 14 and verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. The devotional reading is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. I'm turning there now. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, They are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Come to the next class, and we'll study further on the Christian's hope.